I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about crafting the fiber arts and how awesome it is.
Yeah! Woo!
Before we dive in today, let's talk about what we're working on, Drea.
I am working on a happy turtle.
A happy little turtle. I think I see a happy little bunny over there, too.
Yes, I finished a bunny.
That's real cute. Woo.
Since we last got together. This is the, it's a jelly cat style bunny crochet by Pawfic Stitch House.
You know what's so funny? I was looking at that bunny and I'm like, something familiar about that. But our daughter's favorite toy is a jelly cat bunny. Mm-hmm. And I just realized, yeah, it looks just like Bunny.
Like Bunny.
Yeah. He looks like Bunny. Very cute.
Yes. I made this for my friend who just had a baby.
Aw. That's super cute.
I have not given it to her yet, but I will.
But tell us about the turtle. Because the turtle is the project.
I am very excited about the turtle. Like, look at his little face.
Oh, he's got really good eyes.
He does have good eyes. Look at that.
Very
nice. He got all his parts. Very
cute.
Legit.
This is the happy turtle pattern.
Oh, I thought you just meant he was happy. Like, no. I didn't realize it was a happy turtle pattern. No.
It's called the happy turtle.
That's so cute.
It's the happy turtle pattern by Happy Turtle Crochet.
I love it.
I do too. And bunny, turtle, all things crochet for me. Big twist, baby bear.
Now, is this the same turtle that you've been making lots of, or is this a new turtle?
This is a new turtle.
This is a new turtle. Okay.
As you can see, look at his cute little flippers.
These are really cute little flippers. They're really chunky little flippers. Yeah, I love them.
They are like little half moons.
I love them.
They're
so squishy.
Yeah. Instead of like little round nubbins. So I am advancing my crochet skills.
Love it.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yes. I am learning new
A plus.
Yes. Thank you.
Did you finish the Bananasaurus?
Oh, yes. I finished the Bananasaurus.
I was going to say there's no Bananasaurus yes. here. All right.
He is done.
Cool.
He is currently hanging out in my car because I'm waiting to send it somewhere because I am too lazy to get down to the post office before it closes.
Fair.
But it will go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Off to its new home.
Off to a new home.
Very good.
I'm not telling them that they're getting it. Just
it's going to be a surprise.
Yep. He's going to open it and he's going to be like, oh, Andrea made me this.
Love it.
Please don't ever call me that, though. I'm sorry. That was a slip on my part.
You played yourself.
Do not full name me.
Tina?
As you may recall, I finished my Franken's cocoa beanie thing last episode.
On the air,
you did.
I did. And while I was in
Portugal.
I was working actually on the that spider shawl that we were supposed to.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm actually a lot farther on that.
Yay.
But I can't do that while talking.
No.
So
that's so fair. That's a complicated one.
I brought back the beanie that I forgot about when I saw the cocoa Franken beanie, and that one is the Northward beanie.
Oh, that's a Tin Can Knits, isn't it?
It is by Tin Can Knits. And this one is made with, the yarn is by Sugar Makeable Fibers in the colorway Sugar Maple, and it's a single ply bulky.
It's beautiful.
It's a Thank very you. Pretty orange.
Yeah.
It looks like fall.
You know, I'm ready. I'm ready, guys.
I'm ready.
No. I am also ready for fall. I am ready for it to at least not be this humid.
I am ready for that. But I'm not ready for fall.
I don't like walking mm-hmm. outside into soup.
No, ma'am.
I am enjoying the break from like kid activities in general. Because like right now their schedule is like pretty much nothing, which is mm-hmm. awesome. So I'm not chauffeuring as much.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, a crisp fall morning would be really nice right now.
I'm going to be the lone voice of dissent. I am not ready yet. I would love some cool air, but I'm not enough to want to rush it.
Maybe we'll have like a cold spell.
A cold snap instead of all these heat waves.
Oh, God.
Jess, what we got?
I'm still working on the catnip pullover because I'm awful this year. But hey, I got like 3 more rows done.
Yep, you did. And you're almost done with the cats.
I'm almost done with the cats. I don't know if that's going to make it better or worse. I'm still... plugging along on that. And when I'm working on it, it's going pretty fast. But it's also summer and my hands are sweaty and it's hard.
Isn't it, though?
I did start a crochet fish.
You did?
I did.
Where was I?
Where is it now? Next to my chair somewhere. I dropped it and I haven't seen this fish at all. I haven't dug it out. I found an old, I think it was worsted weight, and I think it might have been in old school Copper Dragon. I don't know. I found all this yarn next to my chair and I had my crochet hook. I can't remember why I had the crochet hook. So I started it. Then I realized that the eyes that I have are smaller than I want them to be.
No.
No, it's going to happen.
No.
We don't need any more eyes. I do. Mine are too small. I want them bigger.
Oh my God. Which is why I also now have a box of eyes.
Oh. See?
When you lost them 3 or 4 times, then I will ask Frank if he understands my pain.
But yeah,
time will tell if that will happen.
If you keep losing the box of eyes.
How many times have you lost the box of eyes?
Oh,
I don't know. They're lost right now because I can't remember where I put them.
So how do you know you don't have the right size?
Yes, I do, because I found them when I started the fish and then I put them back where I found them, but now I can't remember where I found them. They're in the basement somewhere.
I can't do this anymore.
There were noses too. I forgot. I got cat noses.
Can I have a nose?
Yeah, when I find them, I will get you a nose.
Maybe we put the eyes in the same place every single time.
Holy crap.
I should do that.
I know that's hard with ADHD because I can't do that either sometimes.
Can you just give me the eyes and I will put them away?
Give it a house. Give it a little house where it lives.
Oh, I can get a special box for them.
There you go. Oh, great, because you don't have enough special boxes.
Maybe I already have a box.
She will remember the box.
I might have an empty box.
You can put them in your jewelry box, dude, that you don't use for jewelry.
But it's a cool jewelry box.
Yeah. For eyes.
For eyes.
See, look at that. I solved the problem.
Oh, I can, because they're the safety eyes. So they can go in the ring section in the little like ring holes.
Great, perfect. We have solved the problem.
Sweet. I'm going to buy some eyes.
No. We have not solved the problem, apparently.
I still need bigger eyes.
I really love that we've been doing this for 4 years, and this is just an ongoing theme of the show, is Jess can't find the eyes.
Listen. The marital problem. But yeah, once I find them, I will get you
involving the eyes. Hey, there's no marital problems.
I'm kidding. It's just more of the ongoing spat. Bear noses and pink cat noses, but I'll have to check, and I will let you see them.
You know what the marital problem was? The day she dropped all the beads on the kitchen floor. That was the marital
problem. I'm still finding some.
She's still finding them.
I thought I vacuumed them all up.
This floor has been vacuumed. It's been swept. That was the marital problem.
If the worst thing that you're arguing about is eyes and beads on the floor,
it's true.
You're doing pretty good.
It's true. We're doing all right.
Doing pretty good.
We're doing okay.
Just saying.
The beads are forever.
It's like glitter. It's literally like glitter. Like you think you got them all, you didn't get them all.
You did not.
No, you didn't.
You can think that all you want.
Meg, what you doing?
So I am about halfway through the yoke on my Sayuri sweater. I have stopped because the pattern is really confusing. And I've read it about 3 times and I cannot figure out the next step. And Jess has promised to take a look at me. And she has promised me no less than 4 days this week that she would look at that pattern. And then she still hasn't done it. We keep doing other things. Yeah, exactly. So it is sitting in a bag until we take a look at it together and we figure it. Because honestly, guys, I'll be honest with you. My brain does not work that way sometimes, like,
well, especially not on summer vacation.
But this is my knitting time, though. This is when I do the fun stuff. So right now, last couple days, I've been working Back to Winter Light by Meg Gadsby. I started this back in March. I'm determined to finish this. It's not a hard project. It's actually a really good one for watching TV and kind of zoning out, because it's 4 repeats, and they're pretty simple. And I am knitting it out of Fiber Optic Yarns Gradient in Texas Blue Bonnets. And I am like in the blue now, which is super exciting. Yeah, I'm not nice. Just hanging out in the...
Look, the blue
is my favorite part of the skein. And it's going to get to this really gorgeous, like deep blue. So
that was a good project
I'm
for
getting
that yarn.
There. No, it is. I mean, this is not a yarn that needs a fancy project. It really just needs a simple project to really show it off. So that's where I'm at right now. So I'm determined to finish at least one project this year, please. This has not been my year for knitting. It really has not been.
Me neither.
It's you gotta just go with it when it comes.
Gotta make those dirtles sometimes.
You know, I've tried crocheting this year, and I it's not really my thing either. So the turtles are so cute, and I love admiring them. But I don't know, as much as I look at that and I'm like, oh God, I want to do that. I want to crochet. I just, every time I do it, I'm like, I'm not enjoying myself with this. So I love watching other people crochet though. It's beautiful. And I love the way it looks knit up. I love, or not knit up, obviously crocheted up, but I love seeing the differences. Like when
you compare yarns.
Yeah. Well, compare like a knit project and a crochet project with the same yarn, especially if it's a speckle or a variegated.
Yeah.
It's amazing how differently those yarns look.
Yeah, because
knit versus crochet.
One yarn could be beautiful for knitting,
and it just doesn't work, or it pulls funny, and then you do a crochet pattern and it comes out totally different.
Or it looks good both ways, but different.
Yeah, good in different ways. So be sure to check out our website, pardonmystash.com, for more pictures, patterns, and yarns. So before we start today, we have a small announcement. As some of you may already be aware, we have had a sponsorship with Jimmy Bean's Wool for a while now. The company was recently brought out by a private equity firm, and the decision was made for us to end our partnership and amicably end it. So we are parting ways, and we'd like to thank Jimmy Bean's Wool for sponsoring us the past, I believe it's a year and a half. Going forward, what we would like to do on the podcast is give a special shout out to the people who have been donating to our podcast and helping to keep us afloat. So for the month of June, we would like to give a shout out to Sharon, Elizabeth, and Kara. Thank you guys so much.
Yay.
For continuing to support us in all of our endeavors. And your contributions mean a lot to us. Thank you.
They really do. Yeah,
no, they do.
So for tonight's episode, we are going to talk about propaganda that we will not be buying. This is an Instagram trend that maybe you guys have seen, where somebody picks a topic and they say, this is the propaganda about this topic that we are not buying. That might sound political. It is not, because today we are going to be talking about crafting propaganda that we are not buying.
None of it.
Not today. No. As we always say on episodes like this, these are our unvarnished opinions. They do not have to be your opinions. You do not need to agree with us. We probably won't even all agree with each other.
That is certain.
Yeah. There may be some things, but that is, and it should in no way impact your own personal beliefs.
Nope.
We do not claim to be experts in any craft, and you know, take our opinions with a grain of salt. This is how we feel as
do your own research.
Yep, look into as crafters. It. This is how we feel. So, what is? I open the floor. What is some propaganda about crafting that we are not buying?
That you have to block.
That's a good one. Like, that's a really good one. Would you care to elaborate?
I would love to elaborate.
All right.
Because a lot of times when you're hearing from people, okay, well, blocking's super important and it's a really important step and it's the final step. And if you don't do it, like, your thing sucks and blah, 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 blah. Well, I have to say, sometimes blocking is not important. Sometimes blocking doesn't actually make any sense for the project that you're working on. It does make sense for a lot of projects, mm-hmm. like if you're working on a shawl or you're working on whatever. But,
or like a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also depends on the type of fiber you're working with. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm making a shawl out of acrylic, I am not blocking it.
Well,
what do you want me to do?
Fair.
I could block it.
Wet the plastic.
Yeah, like.
I only blocked an acrylic shawl, acrylic scarf once.
Well, good for you.
No.
It melts. No. I was going to say, that sounds like a bad plan.
That was my early days.
I was going to ask, did you have to buy a new iron?
No, because I did it on really low heat. Okay. It actually didn't melt it like that much. What it did was it actually like just flattened it. Like it just flattened it. And I was like, good enough. And I moved on with my life.
Congratulations.
I know.
I have never heard that story.
That's a good one. I saved it for now.
But yeah, I had made a, I think it was the French Can-Can shawl. I made that for my cousin.
Shawl.
Yeah,
it's a good shawl.
It was
not blocked.
It's made in acrylic. I did not block that.
I would never have known.
Meanwhile,
I also made a French can-can. Mm-hmm.
which was not acrylic, and that definitely needed to be blocked.
Did it? Yeah,
it did.
Yeah, but the acrylic is kind of like it was already in place. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't really need to be shaped because it held its shape.
But that's the thing. Looking at your French can-can and not knowing that it's acrylic, it looks so nice and even. I wouldn't have known that you didn't block it.
I'm just that good. No, no, it's just that like acrylic is one of those things that just kind of like where you set it is where it's going to be.
Right. It's not going to move. It's not going to bloom. Anywhere. It's not doing anything. So.
That's I won't be buying into that propaganda.
No, I believe that.
Not all the time.
A solid start, man.
Like not all the time. No. Like I've made blankets and I put them through the wash and the dryer, which is scary, but but it covered in cat hair.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider that blocking. I'm just
No.
Are you pinning it?
No.
Then we're good.
No, I feel like it depends if you like the look. I mean, if you're worried about the look and you think it looks weird, try blocking it. But if you're not worried about the look and you think it looks... Dude, I don't think I've blocked a hat. That's not true. I blocked one hat.
So the other thing, too, with if you have a super wash garment and you wash it, you may be having to block it every single time.
Yeah,
like, I noticed that with the wedding shawl that you made me. Because that is made out of superwash. And when you first blocked it, it held this big, beautiful block. But it has gradually shrunk over time. And I haven't washed it.
It squeezed back
up. But over time, it kind of sprung back to where it was.
Because I was looking at it.
And it's smaller now.
When we moved it. And then I was looking at pictures. I'm like, no, this definitely like shrank.
It did. It kind of like squeezed back into itself. So
that's a little weird. Usually things stretch out.
Yeah, you'd think.
Well, I don't wear it that often. Yeah, I think I've only worn it twice. I wore it to our wedding and I wore it to Rhinebeck, and I'm pretty sure that's it. So it's been folded up and in a box. But yeah, when I've taken it out, I'm like, man, I remember this being a whole lot bigger. Like it used to come down past my butt. It doesn't do that anymore. It shrank. Yeah, it's weird. But again, as with all knitting, your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that Frank and Coco beanie, I almost purposely made it too small because I was going to use blocking to make it the right size.
And it's Rios.
And now it's perfect.
And Rios is
perfect fit. But yeah, it like I've definitely made hats where I'm like, no. The original Coco bean I made in the Less Travel.
Yep.
I didn't block that. And it's still too big.
I didn't block mine either because I forget. Wait, did you block yours and it stretched? Because we all made it with the same yarn.
I did block mine, but I knit much tighter than you do.
Right.
And when I blocked mine, yes, it grew, but it grew to a perfect size.
I remember you saying, this yarn really stretches. And when you said that, I was like, this hat fits me perfectly. I'm not going to block it.
Well, we're both very loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dre's knitting
learned
tight,
the lesson, and I was not about to block it at that point. Mine was actually already a little bit loose on my head. So
I did not block it, and it is so big on my head. And I have a big head.
It is what it is, man.
Sometimes I throw it in the dryer just to shrink it back down.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You gotta.
And it does. It'll bring it back down, and then like I'll wear it like, I don't know, 20 times, and then all of a sudden it starts going...
Starts to stretching out. Right. Yep. Yeah. Other propaganda we are not buying.
You can only do cool projects with nice yarns.
Yeah. That is incorrect.
Yeah.
If you like a yarn, do whatever you want with that. I have jellyfish out of really nice yarn.
I love those jellyfish. I actually really want to know what pattern you use because I want to make
some. I'm pretty sure it's from Crafty Intentions, and you just look up Crafty Intentions jellyfish and it'll pop up.
But honestly, just an extension of that thought that any yarn is supposed to only do a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or that you need to save your best yarns for really good projects.
But here's the thing. If you save your yarn until you find the most epic project for that specific yarn, you are never going
to
knit it. Because
you're
going to
psych yourself out.
You are. Yep. You will never find the right project.
No. And you got it. Dude, my first scarves, my first like garter stitch scarves were made out of hand dyed yarn from my friend Joy. I loved her yarn.
Oh, yeah.
I bought her yarn and I supported her small business and I loved it. And they're garter stitch scarves and they are the most garbage knit ever. But you know what? They are gorgeous because the yarn makes the scarf. And I don't feel bad about that.
Like, oh man,
I knitted with some nice stuff, and I knitted, you know,
like I got a really nice fade set from Fiber Optics that I made my kid a dragon for.
Yeah, she did.
Congratulations. Like, he's
and
cute.
And that's the thing, is that you'll get people that'll say like, oh no, that's a dumb thing to do, like don't make like such a simple project with such a expensive yarn. Nah, man,
do whatever you want.
Or on this, by the same token, don't make that crazy gorgeous sweater out of cheap yarn. Yeah. No.
Yeah, but
you make it out of what you want.
I mean, just make sure you like it.
I yeah. would just like to preface that the blue ribbon that I won for my daughter's sweater is all acrylic. So
yeah,
hot.
See?
Exactly.
What is it that Meg says? Find your joy.
Find your joy.
Yep.
No, it is. It's a ridiculous idea that you shouldn't make heirloom things out of cheap yarn.
You see a really nice yarn, you finally want to buy it, but then it's like, oh, I don't know what project, because maybe you don't do sweaters, you don't do shawls, maybe all you do is like, you know, make a Bananasaurus. We'll make that Bananasaurus out of silk, okay? That's awesome. That's going to be a shiny Bananasaurus.
I am not going to do that. But I mean,
but you do that.
Could.
You know, it's silly to have that notion, especially because there are so many older generations that made heirloom garments out of what was available. Mm-hmm. And especially in, you know, 70s, 80s, like acrylic was popular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you could wash it.
I have beautiful, beautiful blankets and afghans from literally like my husband's great great grandmother out of acrylic. But yep. Guess what, I'm keeping it.
That, no.
And it's an heirloom, and it's yeah, I find
well,
it's still beautiful to me
too.
I have two afghans that my grandmother knitted, and she exclusively knit with Red Heart, because in her opinion, why spend more money when this was perfectly good and
right.
washable
yeah.
and cheap and readily available everywhere. And, you know, I treasure those. I treasure those afghans.
Yeah.
Like,
especially with, like, a blanket, though. Like, you're not going to make, like, you can. You
sure.
can.
Sure.
You can make
if
a
you
blanket
want to.
Out of $32 skein, superwash merino. Like, go live your best life.
Mm-hmm.
But reasonably speaking, like, that's kind of unrealistic for a lot of people's budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're going to go with something that's a little bit more durable, a little bit cheaper, you know. And this, I feel the same way about kid sweaters. I will never make a nice kid sweater. Absolutely not. Like, nice yarn kid sweater is what I mean.
Well, they're going to grow out of it, or they're not going to take care of
well,
it.
Well, Joe already grew out of the sweater I got
they grow
the
really
thing
fast.
For.
Yeah.
And it's and she like wears it
she
like,
does
and it's worn
well
and
you want
okay.
you want yarn that's going to be able to take a beating
right
yeah.
And is, it is it's like you don't want to put a sweater on a child and say like okay don't move
this is my child that's
like I want you to play in it I want you to
yeah.
like wearing it
yeah
yeah.
And in other senses, you know what? Like, I have some really good hedgehog yarns that are like speckled and amazing and awesome, and I can't think of a garment I want with it, but it looks awesome as a betta fish.
Just sure.
yeah.
Right. And maybe that yarn wants to be a beta fish.
Maybe it
know.
Does. Maybe it wants something fishy made from
maybe
it.
Maybe it had fish know. Dreams. You don't know.
Yeah.
I had fiber optic yarn that someone asked me for a commission for, and I knew that the yarn was perfect for what she was looking for. She was asking me for a specific type of like color mix. And I was like, I have that. And it's in a fiber octave, like $32 skein of yarn. And I was just like, nah, I'll do it. And I made it and I sold it to her. And it was a basic like ear warmer. But
hey.
Guess what?
Hey,
she loves that
yeah.
ear warmer.
Right.
Handmade gifts are always appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Bleh.
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
the barf button? Hold
yeah.
on.
That is wrong.
That is propaganda we're not buying.
No. Yeah. Like, there is nothing more disappointing than spending a lot of time on something and then giving it to somebody thinking that they're going to love it. And then they don't. And they're like, oh, well, thank you. Anyway.
Yeah. And I think there's also like, I know I did it when I first started crafting. You get newbies like myself that are like, oh my God, I'm going to save so much money on Christmas gifts. And it's like, so
nope.
then you start knitting scarves for people that don't wear scarves. I have learned over time, for example, that it doesn't matter what I knit for Jess, she's not going to wear it. Like, I have, she'll treasure it. She'll put it aside. She will love it, but she's not going to wear it. So I'm not going to knit for her. And that's not me being mad or stalking off or like pouting that, oh, you don't like what I make you. It's just she's not going to use it.
Yeah.
So, you know, also assuming when you get into the craft that everyone's going to love what you're making. You know, if you're knitting a hat for somebody that has never, you have never seen wear a hat in their life.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're excited and that's great. Well, also, they may not be.
You do have a lot of people that really don't understand the difference between the blanket you gave them and the blanket they got at like Walmart for $5. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, that was going to be like my thought process after what you said was basically like the idea that people appreciate the time and effort that you put into.
Right.
Because they'll, you know, like you said, Jess, like people are just like, well, I could buy the same blanket at Walmart for $8. And I'm like, go live your best life and go buy that.
Go buy that blanket for $8.
Because this blanket in materials alone is going to be $210.
And of course you have the people that do understand or maybe don't understand, but still love the fact that you made them something. But it's like, but don't expect that to be everybody. That's not true.
It is not everybody.
Right. Not everybody. Right.
And especially if that person's not any sort of crafter themselves and they don't understand, like, this is my time, my love, my effort, my money that I've put in for you.
Not to say that only crafters would appreciate a handmade gift, but you are more likely to have a crafter appreciate a handmade gift.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And it's you're kind of setting the stage for disappointment on both sides. Their side, because they don't know how to respond, or maybe they don't know how to respond and they don't care that their response is hurting your feelings. Or yourself, for I was so pumped to give you this gift and now, that was a lukewarm response and I am sad now.
Now I feel like garbage.
And it is, it's tough.
The idea that you have to knit multiple different categories of items to become a prolific knitter.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong.
Same with crochet. Same with crochet.
Wrong.
Propaganda we're not buying.
No.
Not buying.
Listen, I know people who make fantastic one item things. That's the only thing they make. I mean, your sister's one of them. She makes great scarves.
Oh, her one by one ribs. Yeah, and they're very nice and even and long and thick and warm.
But that doesn't make...
But that's all she wants to do.
And that's okay.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
She doesn't have to make a sweater and a cowl and a shawl and a... Like, if she doesn't want to. Like, that's fine.
No.
It doesn't make her any less skilled of a knitter.
No. And the thing is, it's the other thing too, is like she could... There have been... She's made hats. She's made a cowl. She doesn't like to do that because she can't just sit down and watch TV while she does it. She has to actually focus and pay attention to a pattern, and she doesn't want to do that. And that is also fine. Like, you should be crafting in a way that
you enjoy,
serves you, because this is a hobby and we're not winning any races here. We are literally supposed to be enjoying ourselves. And if your hobby's making you miserable, don't do your hobby.
Guys, if you're crafting, you're doing it.
That's it. Congratulations. You did a knit stitch. You're a knitter. There you go. Congrats. High five.
You did it.
There's really no other requirement.
No.
Like, is there levels? Sure. Is there skill levels? Sure. Like, in terms of, like, you know, oh, this person knows how to do ABC stitch.
Guys, your knitting can be all works in progress.
Yeah.
But you're actually doing the part that makes you a knitter. Mm-hmm. So,
listen, I feel that in my soul as someone with 15 works in progress.
Listen, I have two and I feel the same way.
I got one.
You always have one, though.
No, but like if it was based on like finished objects I just have laying around, I'm not a knitter because I have nothing.
Right. And like, I think that's that's another propaganda we're not buying, is that quantity does not automatically make you a better knitter. Neither does like a you just kind of said, like the quality or the skill of your knitwear doesn't make you a better knitter, but neither does the I cranked out 30 garments this year, I'm king of the knitters. Like, that's not a thing. We're not working towards a title here.
Well, I am.
Well, here you go. You can have it.
Wait, can we get achievements in this game?
No.
Because
I want achievements.
I want to grind for the achievements.
Is it old lady level grinding?
You know what?
I feel like on a subsequent episode, we should come up with an achievement system. Okay.
No, that's just for fun. Okay. No, if you have more than 15 works in process, you become a whip master.
Oh, we should have like badges, like Girl Scouts. Girl Scout yes. badges.
Yeah. I want to be a whip master.
Whip master. Girl, you are the whip master.
The original whip master.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to make a lot of money off of unsuspecting gentlemen. Okay.
Wow.
Do you want to see a picture of my whips and then just send them bags?
They'll be like, hi, I hear you have many whips. I'm like, I do. Would you like to see them? Here they are. Thank you for your time.
$5, I'll show you.
And thank you for the $500. I don't know what you're expecting, but here are pictures of my whips.
Oh my God. I'm down for the merit badges though.
Yes.
But the point still stands. There is no like, you're never going to reach the pinnacle of knitting. You're not going to be the best knitter in the world if you accomplish X, Y, and Z. Like,
yeah.
This isn't a race or a competition.
Even like, I know that there's ways that you can get through, I'm not going to, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but there's a way to get like almost like a certification that you're a fantastic knitter.
Master knitter. Yeah. 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 Those exist.
Yeah. But what people don't understand is like, there's no like single body of like, who is the master knitter guild of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, when you go in that tradition. Yeah. When you go and you want to like get one of those certifications, it's through that particular entity that's offering them. Like, it's not necessarily like
a universal.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, well, you know, in the United States, we have the Master Knitter Award that you have to go through the U.S. Secretary of State office. Doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's almost it's like different traditions, different crafts, different whatever. Like, yeah, you are a master in this. I'm almost thinking of it like different degree certifications.
Yeah,
like in different programs. Mm-hmm. Like according to these regulations, you are a master. But maybe if you go to this school, you don't meet the criteria. Like, you got to do a whole other thing.
Yeah, like certain schools are weighed heavier because they're more difficult.
Or they have a focus on something else or things like that. So but there is not like,
I feel like the only reason that the Master Knitter certification is only necessary if you're going to like make a business out of teaching other people and you want like
Yeah. Hey, I have actually like gone.
Well, it gives you the credentials.
Yes.
Yeah. It gives you if you're going to need credentials for.
I'm not the only one saying I'm awesome. Other people also concede that I am.
Well, cool. And this isn't just me walking in and saying I know X, Y, Z, and this is good and this is not. Like,
wait, in that theory though, if every entity could make a master knitter, crocheter certification, why can't we have our own?
Probably
parted my stash. Master crafter.
I am not running that workshop, okay?
No, your dad, there's no workshop. You literally just put in your email and I send you a certificate with your name on it that says you win.
You're a knitter. Yay.
You are a knitter. Congratulations.
But as far as I'm concerned, I don't need somebody else to tell me that I'm good at my hobby.
Yeah.
Well, right. And if it is a hobby and it's not a business, but that's another thing too, is that if you're going to be striving to improve, you should be striving to improve for your own purposes, whatever those purposes may be, not because you're going to be the best, because there is no best. There never will be. So do what you want. Don't torture yourself making garments or working with yarns that you hate.
I want to be the very best. Is catching them all, catching all different
Gotta
kinds
craft
of yarns.
Them all.
Gotta craft them all. Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to do that because I feel like I'm going to have to, like, make a lace weight project and that's...
Make some noops.
No.
Gotta
absolutely
craft
not.
Them all.
Pass. Nope.
You can make it's just called a noop and it's a Pokemon type thing, but it's like a noop.
It's just a nope.
It's just a nope.
Pitch it to Pokemon.
It's a ghost type.
It's a ghost type. And one of its moves is astonish because you go,
oh no.
Guys, that's a legit move.
It also used
like really
confusion.
Confusion.
It was super effective.
It was super effective.
Oh my god.
I've been playing Pokemon Violet lately, so.
That makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of Pokemon terms going through my head right now.
That makes sense.
Well, I had a lot of time on vacation to actually play my video games, so that was nice. I know I think I'm 3 years behind because I think that thing came out like a long time ago, but I'm catching them all right now.
Yeah, gotta catch them.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Neither knitting nor crochet is actually harder.
Ooh.
You just learned the other one first.
Yeah.
I think there is so much back and forth over which is harder, which is more complicated. And I really do believe it just boils down to whatever you started with.
Yep.
You will initially be more comfortable with, you know, just like everything else in life. And you may get to the point where you're more comfortable with the other or you're equally comfortable. But I feel like so much of the like moving into the bicraftual territory gets like shut down by, I couldn't do that. That's so much harder.
I'm not going to lie. I have actively been crocheting for several months now.
Mm-hmm.
And I still will sit here and be like, oh, crochet, that's such a cool pattern. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. And it is.
But you do.
But I do.
You do.
And I'm kinda doing like, it pretty good.
But it's hard. It's like it's hard to kind of break that mentality because when you first look at it, whichever one you start with, like you start with crochet and you look at knitting, you're like, I could never do two needles. I work with one hook. Or on the flip side, I look at crochet or I did like now I know the rough way to crochet. But I'm still like, I look at a crochet pattern. I'm like, okay, no.
To be fair, pattern-wise, crochet can be ridiculous looking if you're just looking at a chart.
Yeah, I am only looking at crochet patterns that are written out.
That's
because
fair.
Right
now, but you will probably graduate eventually to the chart.
Listen, the over charts time. Are
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
They're hieroglyphics.
Here's
the thing though too, my the blanket that I'm working on, quote unquote, that I took a break on. So they have it written and charted. And for some of the things, the chart actually goes a little faster for me because I could just look at it and I know exactly where I am. And the written, I keep forgetting what line I'm on. And then there are parts where I'm like, I don't know what they're telling me to do in this thing. Like I think I know, but then I'll read the directions. And I'm like, no, I read that wrong. Like I have no idea. So I like both.
Is good. That's how I feel about knitting patterns too.
Mm.
So maybe I'll get to charts. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but
I remember maybe. A time in 2008 when the words left your mouth, the immortal words of, I think I'm just going to be a scarf knitter.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that day.
And it was garter stitch scarves.
All the way.
Oh, yeah.
For like a year.
I was real happy doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you decided that you wanted to try something else, you got comfortable doing other stuff. I believe you will get to charts. I think you will. I think it's just a matter of getting comfortable and being ready to do it.
Do we think we're going to get to the point where I can say that I know how to crochet?
You know how to crochet now.
I know, but I don't believe that.
Well, I think you will get there.
I think you're gaslighting yourself.
Absolutely.
I think you are falling for some propaganda that you need to somehow reach some pinnacle of crochet before you can say that you crochet. But I've seen the turtles. You can crochet.
I do like
You've
the turtles.
Made a lot of turtles. You made that bunny. You made a bananasaurus. Like, I think you're at a point. I think the minute that you started making something, you were crocheting. I think you can say you can crochet,
mm-hmm.
but
I'll
mean,
work
it's my
on
opinion.
That.
It's not, you know, you got to be you. You got to do you.
I'll work on that. I do talk to my therapist tomorrow. So.
Well, maybe that's also propaganda we're not falling for.
Therapy?
No. Never. No. Again,
I was gonna say, I love my therapist.
No. The idea that, again, that there is a level we have to reach before we can say, I'm good enough to call myself this.
Yeah, you brought that back around. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I did bring that back around.
That's true.
Look at that. Magic.
I think I have an unpopular one.
All right, fire away.
fiber festivals are worth it.
Why would you think it's I'm getting so thrown off.
Well, because the propaganda is.
So you say they're not worth it.
I don't think they're worth it for everybody.
That's fair. Yeah. That's very fair.
And there's times where I'm like, especially recently when we've gone to Rhinebeck and I've gone, there's nothing for me here.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the same vendors. I don't want to buy any more yarn because mm-hmm. I'm at a point where I'm like not trying to buy any. I'm not a huge socializing person, so yeah. I'm not
and
going
it is
to.
A lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I like it when we meet up with our folks.
Yes.
But like outside of that, I'm just like, get me out of this crowd.
Yeah. Well, we also went on Saturday last year, and that was brutal.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But I think there's something to say for like. I've heard people say like if you haven't gone to like a fiber fest you're like missing out, and I don't think that's necessarily true.
No,
I don't think that's true.
Well,
if this is what I'll say, it gives you in-person access to vendors that you otherwise might only see online,
right?
So that's nice. Mm-hmm. But if
I also think that it gives you in-person access to people that you have only met online.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you know, has if you want to do workshops and all that kind of stuff, awesome.
Yeah.
But every single one of those things can be done outside of a fiber fest. Yep. You
right.
can meet up with people that you've met online and
that's
set up
true.
A private mm-hmm. meet.
Yeah.
You can go see some of these vendors if they have a pop-up at a store or if they have their own store mm-hmm. or whatever. And you also, you know, in terms of workshops and stuff, plenty of local yarn stores provide that.
Right.
So I don't, it's not, I don't think it's any, if you want to go to one, I think that's fine. But I don't think there's necessarily a rite of passage of what you have to do it or that anybody's missing out in doing so.
Well, I also right. think if you want to go to one, that's awesome. Find one you want to go to. And you know what? You aren't required to go to one every year or
right,
every time it
right.
pops up.
That's
like
true.
You can go to that one time that you've always wanted to go with and make a big deal of it. And then you don't have to go again. And again, if none of that appeals to you, if you're... You're fine. You can just go get yarn wherever you get yarn and have fun with your local knitting circle or like it's not for everyone. And that is fair. It doesn't make you less of a fiber person.
I was having a conversation yesterday with a mom of one of my kids' friends when they were having a play date. And we were talking about going to New York to Broadway and talking about the fact that like we in the Northeast sometimes don't realize like how privileged we are to live so close that people across the country or across the world may go see one Broadway show their whole lives. Whereas if you live in Connecticut, you are maybe 30 minutes from the train station, 2-hour drive into New York, and you can go for a day trip. Like yep. this is no yeah. big deal. So it's really privileged and kind of, you know, insensitive and mean to treat people like, oh, you've never had that experience. Like that's not an experience that's open to everybody. So to kind of be like, you've never been to Rhinebeck, like we're a day trip to Rhinebeck, we can go anytime,
but we wouldn't be there if we were in California.
No, we know. Would never no. have gone. And that yeah. kind of privilege is of location is not open to everybody. And so the kind of it's snobby to be like, well, you know, you haven't had this experience and that somehow makes you less
or you're lacking in your crafting life
or yeah. in general going to any of the major ones, because there's a lot now. There's
right.
a lot more.
There's
options
a lot of
now. There's
fest.
A lot of West Coast ones yeah. that are out there mm-hmm. That will probably never I probably won't ever go
no.
to unless for some reason I have a friend that lives out there and I happen to be there the weekend they're doing
right
it. But like it's not yeah.
You're not flying out there for it.
No.
No.
It's not
no.
a bucket list.
No.
And it's not. And again, it's not because I think those things. I'm not saying naysaying them. Mm-mm. I'm just saying that if you enjoy the extroverted social aspect of being at a festival in general. Mm-hmm. So like if you like, you know, a lot of crowds and seeing in-person things like workshops and like people spinning and like. You want to meet your vendors face to face. Like, yeah.
Heck yeah, it's a good time.
I think of it too as like, You know, maybe I'm embarrassing myself by bringing this up, but in the pro wrestling community, there's an opportunity to go to Fanatics Fest where you can go and meet all your wrestlers.
And it's real close to us.
I will never go to that.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No.
I would love to meet some people.
Yes.
But like not no. like that.
But it, yeah, it's not
sounds
your thing.
Overwhelming yeah. and exhausting. And I just, no.
It's absolutely a, it's not. A lot of people.
It's in New York, I think.
It
is. Yeah, it's not it's that not far.
It's not. But I had toyed with the notion of going to meet the Miz and ask him if he remembered my brother.
Oh my God.
It's a cool story. I will share it if you would like it. You can DM me anytime. but then I said, I don't want to go for like a joke notion.
Mm. Right.
That is way too much stimulation for me to do for like a little bit of joy.
It's a lot of input for yeah. very
also an expense.
Little. Yeah, that's and that's expensive. How I feel about every single live music experience yeah. at yeah. this point in my life.
Yep.
I'm not going to have fun. Like I may be excited for it, and I'm going to get there and be like, I have regrets. I don't want to be here anymore.
I made a decision.
Frank asked if we could go to person. Coachella, and I'm like,
wow.
Whoa, that escalated quickly.
He has been to Coachella what? With his really? Sister. He has.
I could see that. I could see Frank at Coachella.
Will you be allowed to be in a room with no noise?
I was gonna
with
say.
Headphones and a blanket.
Oh, I will go to Lord. The area and I will do my thing.
Yeah, like
yes.
I yeah.
You guys have fun. There. I'll chill in the hotel.
I'll chill in the hotel.
He can go do that.
Oof. So related to that, one time when we were in North Carolina, I really like the band Bad Wolves. Bad Wolves. And like they were playing as like an opener for somebody else. Like I can't remember who the other band was, but somebody who is a lot more famous than them. I want to say it was some kind of 2000s alternative band. I can't remember at the top of my head. That's how much I didn't care about the headliner. Yeah. And I said to Pat, I was like, you know what? The tickets are really cheap. Can we just go and just see Bad Wolves? And then I'm going to like, we can leave. And he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. So like we went. We had great seats. We were like right up towards like maybe fifth row or something like that on the side. We saw Bad Wolves play. Their set lasted about 45 minutes and like the whole show was like 3 hours long. Ugh. And then as soon as they were done, we were like, okay. And so we started walking out and the security people are looking at us like, wait, like there's still show. And we're like, oh no, we saw who we wanted to see. We're good.
Yeah.
And we just continued. They look so dumbfounded.
You
I was like
hey, we're trying to beat the traffic.
Yeah, yeah, we're good. We're good. We just wanted we're to really see Bad Wolves. We're good. I no. just, but yeah, because like at the end of the day, I
well, that's what you want to do.
Only because the tickets were reasonable. They were like $30 a person. Like it was so reasonable.
So no. What we're really trying to say is the level of participation that you want to have is acceptable.
Correct. Right. And yeah. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else if you've gone. It doesn't make you any better if you haven't gone. Like we're not talking about like reverse hipsterism of, well, I would never be so uncool as to go to a fiber festival. Nobody's saying
no, they
that.
Are fun.
They are a lot of fun. Well, they can be. They yeah. can be a lot of fun. Yeah. And if it's not your cup of tea, then you, it's not a lot of fun and you don't need to go. Like yeah. it's really, it is totally up to you.
Or if you want to stick with like a local fiber festival that's a little bit smaller. Like mm-hmm. I know our Connecticut yeah. one's way smaller and it's a lot more reasonable if you're looking for like kind of a similar experience but in a toned down
yeah, find
fashion.
Your local ones.
You know?
I love the local ones.
Yeah. I mean, the big ones, yes. Are they an experience? Yes. Is it an experience that you will incredibly miss if you don't do it? No. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. It doesn't make you morally superior if you go.
Crafting your own wardrobe will save you money.
It will not. No, no. It okay. will not.
If anyone believes that, oh, they're so misguided.
It will
People
not.
Who believe that are not crafters.
I mean, making your own wardrobe, I mean, it's nice to be able to custom make your own sweaters. That's fantastic. But it's not saving you money. So the other side of the expense is your time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is your time. And are you willing to dedicate the amount of time that goes into creating a... And if you do, like, great. I couldn't find the dress that I wanted to wear to my graduation, so Jess and I made the exact one that I wanted when I graduated with
my
MA.
Cute dress.
I love that dress. I still have it. I'm so proud of it. It's got a ton of mistakes that I made.
But they're yours.
But you know what? You know what was so funny? As I was walking out of graduation, somebody asked me where I got it, and I said that we made it, and she was like, "Do you sell it?" And I laughed so hard. I was like, "If you could see the inside of this dress, you would know." I did. I said, "You are so sweet, but if you could see the seams on this thing, you would know why I would lining, never do that."
Yeah.
It had lining.
Did it? Oh,
yeah, we did line. It has a satin lining. Yeah, it's very pretty. Yep, right. But yeah, like it definitely did not save me money, and it certainly did not save me time. It took us 2 months to make that dress. So yeah, you're putting in a lot.
Paid patterns are better than freed patterns.
That's a tough one, because that's the thing. I've had paid patterns that I'm like, you did not vet this, you did not have this checked.
I always think about those gloves that you made, Jess, with the cardboard.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
The fact that you paid money for that angers me so hard.
I knew it was just that, I'm like, dude, I could have made this myself.
It was just the chart, right?
It was just the chart.
It was just the chart, and they charged you like a lot. Yeah. It was an expensive pattern.
Yeah, it was pretty up there.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it wasn't the full glove.
No, right? It was just the color work.
It was the color work, and they had a note in there of where you would put the thumb gusset.
Wow.
But it was not generous. Like, but they also weren't advertising it as like, you know, warning, this is just a chart for a color work. No, I have no problem misleading. Like, if you say this is just a chart, you can whack this on like a hat or mittens or whatever the heck you want. But yeah, no, she really got...
I mean, that's okay. They didn't have anything about the cuff. They didn't have anything.
They didn't even tell you how many stitches to cast on. They told you nothing.
Like, again, the mitten started, so you could guess from that. But most of those start with a ribbed cuff, which has a larger stitch count. And then you do a decrease row, and then you get into, like,
the color work.
And it didn't say if you did that or if you didn't do that. Right. Or it didn't give you a cuff at all. It literally started at the mitten. And I was like, okay,
that's not how mittens go,
but that's okay. I added my own spin to it and they came out great, but I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna take me longer now because I have to adjust this,
right? And nobody should assume that, like, if I'm gonna pay for a pattern, like I expect to be told what I need to do. Please give me instructions. I paid for this.
Would like the instructions,
and I expect those instructions to be correct if I've paid for it.
Or clear.
Yeah. Clear, correct. Clear. I expect that there's been some effort put into putting this pattern together, and it is correct.
I don't mind if there's mistakes as long as it's rectified.
Yeah.
Right. Is there errata?
If I paid it, and then I say, hey, there's an issue here, I can't resolve it, and the designer comes back and says, oh my God, my B, here you go, here's the fix.
Right.
I'm still fine.
But oh yeah.
If you don't provide any errata and you're not doing anything else, forget that.
Yeah. So and sometimes free patterns, I'm like, oh my God, why is this free?
Yeah.
Like, you put so much work into this.
Mm-hmm. Same note, you don't necessarily have to sell your patterns for money.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Some people do just like putting them up
and sharing. Yeah. And you know what? Awesome to you guys. Yeah. Like,
community effort.
Guys, those octopus stuffies that I've been making, those free pattern.
Yeah.
My little dragon keychains were free pattern.
Love it.
And honestly, sometimes, like, I know we talk about, like, know your worth, charge your worth, all that, but especially when you are starting out, I know when I started knitting, I wasn't about to buy any patterns,
right? No.
Because I didn't know if I could actually do it. I wanted to see the pattern before I started knitting it.
Yeah.
And that is a great way also to kind of get people to knit, and also it's like, if they knit a pattern and they like it, they'll probably go back to you again and be more inclined to purchase your paid patterns because they know you, they like your stuff, they know you do good work.
Yeah, I like to do a mix. I have some free and some paid, and the ones that are paid are the ones that were a pain in the butt.
But it's scary to buy a pattern when you don't know you're not sure what you're doing. Like, it is.
Or, yeah, guys, sorry, too. Like, I don't trust any patterns without at least one picture.
Oh, yeah.
I want
to see the...
what?
Yeah.
Some patterns don't have pictures.
Yeah.
How do you know what you're making?
That's a good
you
question.
You don't.
I mean, it might say in the specs.
It'll say in the specs what it is.
Pattern.
Yes. But, like...
What a mystery. Unless it's a mystery make-along, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if it's just...
But also, like, you should have at least one that you knit or crocheted. Like, you should have done
something.
There should be something. And I've seen sweaters with, like, you know, half a sleeve done. Sure. fine. Okay. Like, yeah. you have knit enough of this to show me that I can see what the pattern of is going to look like. But if there's nothing, and I don't even see that you've done it, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical.
I did that with my scarf.
You knit enough scarf, though,
enough scarf that you could that see
you
it.
Could see what the... And that's the thing with a scarf, is it's the same pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
You did multiple pattern repeats. You could see... And that is, I would think, perfectly acceptable. Yeah, you can see it what fine. It is.
Yeah.
And you also had test knitters that finished it.
I did.
But throwing a pattern out there where there's nothing, there's no picture, there's no...
Unless it's the mystery thing, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't buying mystery patterns from new designers that have never put anything out before.
That's fair.
Doing mystery patterns from people that they know and they like. And that is all the time we have for this episode. For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, be sure to check out our website, pardonmystash.com. And be sure to tune in next time for more fun, friends, and fiber at Pardon My Stash.